This week on Frame of Mind, what did we see, Aaron?
We saw Dark Tower.
All right. Aaron, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Hey, guys, I'm back.
He's back. He made it.
Yeah, I survived the Caribbean.
You survived, huh?
It was rough.
I bet you enjoyed yourself.
It was pretty great, yeah. Honestly, but it actually got stormy, so Southern Caribbean only ever really gets stormy at the beginning of hurricane season, which is usually in the fall.
Okay.
And so we just, like, one day we went out snorkeling, and it was just pounding rain the whole time. But I touched the butt. I mean boat.
I'll edit that part out. Don't worry. That's a little too grotesque for our viewers. Jeez, yeah. That visual image. Get it out of my head.
Yeah, stop viewing our podcast. You should start listening instead.
Yeah. Because I record video, too. I just never share it with anybody else except for myself.
That's creepy. I wonder how many nose pics you got.
Not as many butt pics. Not like pictures of my butt. Just, you know. Okay. All right. Well, let's
maybe
get
we
it.
We should start again.
I'll edit it out later.
Okay.
All right. Let's get into it.
Bitch, you don't need to shout.
I volunteer as tribute.
You do not talk about Fight Club.
Why so serious?
I could do this all day.
The premise of this movie, do you want or do you want me to take it? I'll give you a break. I'll do it.
No, I haven't done it. I want to do it.
Okay, go for it.
A young boy has dreams. His family thinks he's crazy.
Oh, you already gave it away, man. Just kidding. Continue
on. No, I didn't.
I know. I'm just messing with you.
A young boy starts having dreams, and his family thinks he's crazy.
Not those kind of dreams. I know what you're thinking.
Matt.
All right.
Matt.
Continue. Sorry. I won't interrupt.
His family thinks he's crazy, and they get worse and worse, and things start correlating in the world that they live in.
The family is really getting worse and worse, aren't they? I'm just trying to give you a hard time. Okay. Continue.
So, premise of the
movie. I won't say anything, I promise. Go.
Premise of the movie. Young boy starts having dreams. His family doesn't believe them. His stepdad starts...
so dirty when you say it that way.
No. Okay, I won't say it that way.
No, I want you to say it that way. I like when you talk dirty.
Man, this is terrible.
Continue. Go.
No one's going to want to listen to this. All right. So, we're on planet Earth, and a young boy starts having nightmares. In these nightmares, he sees these things that start correlating with the world that they're living in. Earthquakes start happening on Earth, and somehow this boy needs to bridge the gap. And eventually the worlds start colliding further than just earthquakes, and he finds himself in a different world, where he needs to learn the ways of that world and connect the points of his dream to the real elements that he's lived with. And that is this movie.
Boom, boom, boom. Idris Elba from The Office. You might know him. Matthew McConaughey. You might know him from those awesome... those Lincoln commercials. The car commercials.
Did you watch that video? You watched that video.
Not the Jim Carrey one.
No.
Is that what you're talking about?
Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey autofill. Wired did a video that you should go look up.
I should.
It's not that funny, but it's kind of entertaining.
Matthew McConaughey's character looks like he just got off the set of his Lincoln car commercials.
Hair's kind of slicked back.
He looks plastered, not in the fun drunk way, but in the, like, my face is
nasty
glued on
makeup.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And his movements even too are like
kind of robotic.
Is he real?
And that's something that I don't necessarily understand in the movie, but maybe you've got more insight to
he's
that.
He's getting old.
He is.
Sadly.
And I feel like he's done some really great movies in his career, except this one.
And the Lincoln commercials.
Dallas Buyers Club I thought was fantastic.
Interstellar, one of my favorites.
Also.
He carries emotion through so well.
And then why does he do crap like this?
I honestly think this is like just a paycheck for him.
Or even Mud. I wasn't a fan of Mud either.
See, I don't think this movie was created solely for... Well, this movie might have been created for the sole purpose of making money and trying to start a Stephen King universe, which exists on paper. So that's why I think, oh, it's fine. It's, you know, they're, it exists already. But now that they're trying to force it into a movie, I don't know that I love it.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Hmm. Okay.
But it is interesting, and we'll maybe talk about some of the correlations with other Stephen King movies later on in the podcast.
Yeah. So what did you think of the story, having given us such a beautiful premise? Was it intriguing? Were you enthralled the entire time? Did it captivate you?
You know, I... Yes.
What was the best part that just captured your attention?
I think... I don't know. I was thinking about this as we were watching the movie, too. Like, I'm liking what's going on, but why am I liking what's going on? Because, like, you're predicting what's going to happen. Oh, no, what's going to happen when he leaves Earth and comes back? And boom, it happened. Exactly what you predicted would happen. Or you see that Matthew McConaughey's character, he's obviously the evil character in all black. And the whole time you pretty much just know what's going to happen.
I don't think there was... Yeah. Yeah, I won't say that now. I didn't love the story. This movie to me is Captain America, the First Avenger. It is a movie to set up other movies. Is my idea.
I can see that, and I don't like that, but...
Yeah, because it's just... Everything feels really forced, and it feels like they're just trying to get this out there. How about a Dracula Untold? This is comparable to Dracula Untold to me. Because it's like, let's throw something out there that kind of sets up some general rules and regulation of our universe that we're setting up.
For,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll release the actual big hitters coming up. Because this is, I mean, it was an 8-book series by Stephen King, and I didn't read them. I don't know much about them, but this movie stands on its own. You know, it doesn't, it ends and, you know, it doesn't allude to any sequels or anything. I don't know if that's a spoiler or not, but just so you know, it's a standalone film. It doesn't feel like a first of many, but the only reason I know it's going to do that is because you got Stephen King's It coming out pretty soon here. You got other ones in the works. I think they're just revving up, and other people are seeing what Marvel and DC are doing, and even now the Paramount Monsters universe. So I think everyone's just getting on the bandwagon.
The cash cow, milking it for all it's worth. You know, and that, I understand it being bothersome, having all of these movies tied together and feeling like they need to tie together, and not being able to sit through the movie and just enjoy the movie as an individual piece, because you know that it's trying to fit in, it needs to fit in, you've got expectations from previous ones, and that's what's frustrating about the whole movie scene right now, is that you can't just watch a movie and have that be the movie, and I guess it's not new. We look back to Land Before Time and how many of those dumb movies were there.
Oh my goodness.
So, I mean, it's always happened, but some of my favorite movies, I look back and it wasn't necessarily a part of a trilogy or sequence.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, Toy Story was a great standalone film.
Yeah.
Why did they create a second one? I don't know. And then a third one. And those are all kids' movies, revealing our age, by the way. But yeah, I think it distracts because those are all logistics in my mind, and we're just trying to review this movie, obviously, not the whole...
The universe that's being set up.
Yeah, the production company's take on how to make money, but it does kind of fall in here and taint... It really taints the content of this movie in my mind, because it's like they're trying to just, let's just throw a setup movie so we can set everything else up. And that's where I think this movie sadly just misses the ball, whatever
And I agree with you. I think that it doesn't, it's nothing to write home about, but at the same time, if you put yourself in that frame of mind going in, that you're sitting enjoying just a one-time movie, I feel like it still has enough story and depth, and you watch the character go through his process where he kind of begins to feel normal in his skin because it validates all of these nightmares that he's been having when he encounters this other world.
Right.
And I think if you purely pay attention to that part of the story, it works and it's entertaining. It's a good story. It's interesting.
I think it's got good ideas. Mm-hmm. And those ideas are interesting enough that it'll keep you going throughout. But, you know, certain things I think they just kind of, what's the word? Browsed over, buzzed over. What am I? Blurred over. I don't know. Certain things they just kind of skirted away, didn't really care to put much detail or effort into. Right. For instance, like within the first 5 minutes of the movie, you find out, like you said, this kid's parents think that he's crazy. And they're like, we called a clinic in upstate New York. And I'm like, really? The upstate, a clinic upstate? Like, that's pretty cliche. And then the kid goes and, you know, gets mad at some other bully kid. We've talked about bullying before. Mm-hmm. This cliche bully who just runs up and steals this kid's thing out of binder. His hand. And then he just punches him in the face. And I'm like, the main character punches the other kid in the face. And it's like, really, you're going to get in a school fight and you're going to get suspended. And like, that was all so cliche. We've seen that forever. And mm-hmm. I was like, be a little, you know, out there. Be different. Have him get in trouble for something other than punching someone. Maybe he writes something horrific, you know, and really does something bad. And right. That's why it's something different that we haven't seen before. I'll let them come up with the creative ideas.
He starts drawing one of his scary drawings on the wall of something or on someone's locker.
Right.
And it instills fear in other students, whatever. Like, I think there's many ways to show that he's going through a tumultuous time without having that cliche.
But like all the character motives of this movie, like that, like, oh, he's snapped. He's clearly, you know, digressing. He's got him fighting school. We're sending him upstate. Like, those are just cliche aspects of character development that I feel like that I would appreciate a little more effort in. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And you get that with every character throughout, you know. Daddy issues are big in this movie.
But they don't explain it.
No, they don't.
You see a picture of him with his dad.
That's true. Maybe they will.
And the thing is, like, they didn't even do a good job casting because his real dad looks so much like his stepdad. Like, if you just glance at the painting or the picture, which is all they give you, they don't set the scene up that his dad died or anything. You just see a picture that he looks at longingly. You right. can tell that he misses whoever's in the picture, but it's so tiny and so small that it's insignificant, and you end up thinking, oh, that was his dad. And then you see his dad in the next scene, and it's his stepdad, but you don't piece that together until later in the movie, and I don't like that.
Okay.
I feel kind of lied to. Or like, come on, that's a big part in the story. That's a big part of why he's so volatile right now, and...
And you don't emphasize it enough
to it.
Yeah. I'm all about character development. I think characters are what drives a story, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like any writer is going to tell you, like, if you don't have a good character, you don't have a story. I don't care what the situation is. It can be as dire as there are multiple worlds and someone's trying to wreak havoc on all of them, which is this, everybody. And if your character's not strong, it doesn't matter. I don't want to watch this character. Just like if you don't like us talking about this podcast, if you don't like who we are and what we have to say, you're not going to listen to our podcast.
Right. No.
And so it is what it is. But that brings me up to this character, the main character, the kid, I think was too old of a kid. I think that age is really hard to cast a good actor. I've never really seen an actor carry his own that young. Well, that age, because I've seen younger kids do it, but to have a younger kid with all these adults and really good actors and actresses, you know, it's really evident when he's not very good. And I don't think he's very good. I get lost in that. I would rather him be a little smaller and easier to forgive, like, acting skills. And maybe he doesn't have to act as much because he's not doing as much of an acting spectrum, right? Because he's not going through those, as you said before, pubescent years and having to deal with all these different emotions, you know? I mean, we see him, he loses, you know, he has to deal with his dad having been gone, you know, so he's depressed for that reason and angry and has issues. He has these weird dreams going on that no one believes him, so he's very emotional. Even at one part in the movie, all of a sudden there's almost like a love interest, and you're like, this is random, and it doesn't...
No reason. Yeah.
And so there's all these different emotional aspects that this kid is being asked to take on because of his age. Oh, at this age, he's going to start noticing girls. Whereas if you would have cast like 3 years before, you know, you could have gotten away without doing that, and it wouldn't have muddied the plot.
You know, I kind of disagree. I still feel like he did a great job.
Really? I just...
Really?
I didn't... Maybe it's because I didn't even like him in the previews, and I wasn't amazed, so...
I feel like as it goes through his development in the beginning, before, like I said, he steps into his shoes and his responsibility, and he gains this responsibility when he finally meets the gunslinger, you see he's like... He's constantly nervous and fidgety and sweating. And then... I shouldn't say that. That's a spoiler. Then later in the movie, you see scenes occur that flash back to him. And again, you see that anxiety coming through. And then I feel like he totally gains control of it later on in the movie. And he really, like, becomes a determined...
individual.
I can't give it away. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, he finds his purpose, and I feel like he did a good job with that. He set it up well. There's awkward parts in the plot about him finding this love interest that has nothing to do with anything and never ties back into the story, but...
And I don't think you'd call it necessarily, like, the blocking that he's supposed to do, like, where he's supposed to be standing and stuff, but, like, how he stands... Like, at one point, he gives Idris Elba a hug, the gunslinger hug, and it looks so scripted, like your mom's making you go give, you know, your aunt a hug or something, you know? Like, it... But yet, it's supposed to be a moment where he's like, oh my goodness, thank you so much, hug. But...
And that made me feel uncomfortable, but almost in the way that, like, this is a nerdy kid just giving me a hug. Like, okay, kid, thanks. Stop touching me. I just felt like it was a nerdy, uncomfortable kid and finding himself.
Okay, so let me touch on this then, and you tell me what you think of this. So, everyone has... I've read multiple reviews on this, and everyone's kind of dogged on this movie because it's got too much content, it's got too much universe items in here. Like, there's too much to set up, and they're trying to set it all up in one movie, and it's not explaining any of it. And I see that.
It's kind of like Doctor Strange meets Stranger Things meets...
Yeah, there's a whole ton of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And it is hard to, like, keep up because there's no background really provided on anything. And I think it'd be easy for us to jump on that bandwagon and just rag on it. And it's always easier to rag on things. I was thinking about this while we were watching the movie. Because, I mean, I was watching and I was like, oh, I was nitpicking and stuff. And I think, I really want to try and provide an opinion of, you know, how is this good? How is this movie good? How can I actually enjoy this and not feel like I wasted $12 or whatever I spent? You know, because that's what you should do in a movie. If you're going to pay for it, try and enjoy it, you know. So give me an idea of, like, what you think... You know, other than you've already said, what's an idea of how we can enjoy this movie? Someone who hasn't gone yet, how can they go in and then come out having enjoyed it?
And this is, I think, tying into something that we're trying to rediscover in the podcast.
This is true.
As I listened to a little snippet, I haven't listened to all the episodes since I was gone because I've had a lot of stuff to catch up on. But you said, like, frame of mind doesn't really have anything to do with the podcast anymore. And so we're trying to bring that back. And so what we want to try to do from here on forward is try to tell you what kind of frame of mind you need to put yourself in for the movie to be able to enjoy it, because you're paying for it.
Right.
In most cases.
Right. So what do you think? What do you need to do? What mindset do you need to have? What do you need to bite the bullet on in order to enjoy this? Or to you, is it just standalone good?
I don't feel like I really had to do anything. I didn't feel like I had to do anything with Transformers either.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Maybe you are the wrong person to ask. No, I think for me, what I had fun with was, number one, just letting go. Okay, just let yourself go and kind of just get involved in the gunslinger. Because he's basically Will Smith's character, right, in Suicide Squad.
Right.
You know, he's just amazing at shooting a gun. And it's pretty cool. And like I said, they don't give backstory, but I'm not trying to hate on it. So, but just get lost with him, because he's super awesome. He's great at what he does. But other than the gunslinger, I would say go research all of Stephen King's films. Because go in looking for Easter eggs. That was really fun. Going on an Easter egg hunt is always fun.
Did you know that before, or was that something you did?
Yeah, I had seen that there were going to be Easter eggs, and I figured as well because of the Stephen King universe type thing. So,
okay.
I was like, I bet there's going to be something in here. And I feel like I can tell those. Those aren't spoilers. Those are just fun little things.
Oh, right.
So there's like, you can see things from Cujo, from The Shining, from Misery, kind of all over the board. So just keep your eyes open. And that was really fun. That made it fun. That's part of a movie that I feel like might take you out of the movie a little bit, but it's still fun to do. Yeah. So in that aspect, I really enjoyed that movie. And
which is ironic, because you complained about how it fits in with this universe and it's trying to set up.
Yes,
for
but I'm
universe.
Trying to say how I can make my money worthwhile here. So as a movie entity, yeah, I didn't love this. I mean, doesn't have any real substance for me.
But that adds a good element to it, to try to find some of the Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Everyone likes an Easter egg hunt.
If you get dragged to this movie, it's not your choice, Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
Ready, go. Yeah, for sure.
Do it. Try to find the seat warmers in your seats at the theater.
All right.
That's entertaining, too.
Oscar. What would you give? Not who. I mean, it can be whatever you want. Who or what? You got one Oscar. You got to give it to someone. Who do you, or something? What do you give it for?
I don't know.
The most redeeming quality about this movie is, because I'm at a loss. I would say the best part about this movie is, so I'd give it to Idris Elba for supporting actor. I'd say he carries the majority of the movie. Even though he's not the main character, he's the most interesting character. You also get the most background on him.
You do, and it's slow released, so it's not like you learn everything about him at the beginning of it.
Right.
You find out as it goes on what's happened to him, why he's doing what he's currently doing. I mean, you find his main breaking point early on, but you still don't know what he's done since.
Right.
And I feel like he's still pretty mysterious, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that I would give that to him, though. Well, because I really did feel like the kid did a great job. So it's hard for me to choose.
No Super 8 for me. Those kids in Super 8 were amazing. Or Stranger Things. Get one of those kids to play
right,
that part.
Right. Okay.
But don't let me taint your decision.
It's not like there was incredible sound design. It's not like there was
incredible graphics, visuals,
right,
scene location, costumes, writing.
You know, I think best supporting actress should go to the love interest that was on screen for approximately 2 seconds and never seen again.
Right.
That's
plus or minus 30 seconds. Mostly plus.
As they're running through a fire. And that's about it.
Yeah. Okay. Tech, you mind the technology in this movie?
Yeah, and actually, that was something I did enjoy. I enjoyed the idea that it was like a fragment of an older world.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was Earth just advanced however many years.
Right.
And so they're back to their primitive ways. And this is actually something I hate to admit, but I've wasted a lot of time on YouTube lately watching primitive technology videos. Really fascinating.
Cool,
people that like spend their free time trying to make things by hand. And so they go out into the forest and they're cutting down trees with rocks.
I don't think I trust you with anything sharp. Nah, even a blunt object, you could cut yourself.
I think it would be so fascinating.
There's the reason I got you a first aid kit for your wedding gift.
It was so fascinating, Matt.
All right.
No, but I feel like...
Trebuchet, here we come.
Yeah, I made a trebuchet in high school.
Oh, sorry.
And it was awesome. I won my engineering class with it, so... But that was something I really enjoyed, watching that, like, you've got the current world, and then you've got this world that seems like it's years down the road after civilization has collapsed, and they're needing to go back to these primitive ways. You've got seers, you've got healers, you've got these like portals that are still around.
These old portals, like they look old at this point.
Right. And people don't fully understand them, but they know that bad people are watching them.
How are they able to set it up on Earth then? And then not introduce Earth into that technology? Was this before we had inhabitants?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
See, and that's what we're kind of talking about, is that you have this technology, you have magic, you have really old worlds that were, you know, futuristic uses, our world. You have all these different elements in this film that they just kind of sprinkle in and you don't get any substance to. So you're not getting anything really explained. Like, where did the technology come
like
from?
I feel like it's Unicron hiding under the earth.
What happened? What happened to this civilization? I mean, were we supposed to think that the Man in Black did everything, caused all the destruction of everything in his search for power and to destroy the Dark Tower? And it never really addresses what the Dark Tower is. Tells you what it is.
It connects.
It tells you what it is.
Let's jump into spoiler alert.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
You want to do spoilers? Ready, set?
Cue the music, Matt.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Okay, we're in it. We went through a portal and we're in it.
We're now in the Keystone Earth.
Keystone. Is it supposed to be Keystone? I wonder. It's
an arc of different realities and...
Yeah, and it holds all of them together.
That's what the Dark Tower was in my mind. It was the connecting...
piece.
Element, but...
No, it was the thing
like
that protected all of the worlds. It protected the entire universe from whatever was outside the universe. The monsters getting in.
Right. That's right. He does talk about that.
Yeah. And so everyone knows what kind of happens. I'll try and be quick this time. Little boy has dreams. everyone thinks he's crazy. And then he finds a portal because of his dreams, goes to a different world, finds a gunslinger, Idris Elba, who is the last of the gunslingers who is going to go kill...
This confirms all his dreams, and this is where, like I was saying, he starts to kind of find himself.
Yeah, and so then they go on this quest to find the Dark Man, the Man in Black, right? Is that...
Yeah,
Man in Black.
Man in the Dark Suit.
Something like that. And save the Dark Tower from being destroyed, and in turn, he ends up getting captured. The little kid does, and he has to rely on Idris Elba to come save him. Which, okay, so at the very end, this is what I was predicting, since I don't know anything about the Dark Tower series, was that Idris Elba, it's amazing shot, right? And he's at the end with Matthew McConaughey in this gunfight versus magic, and he can't hit Matthew McConaughey because he's blocking it, deflecting it, and all this magic stuff. But he can see through the portal to where the kid is. I honestly thought it would be cool, and that they were going to do it, that he was going to shoot the kid and save the Dark Tower.
That would have been a big upset.
It would have been something you wouldn't have thought of, but like, to me, that as a story, that's so much more like sacrifice, you know, like you have to do this in order to really save the day. Like, save and one person or save...
Would have played with the role of the gunslingers, because you learn that they're there not to go for their own revenge, but...
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, this kid is trying to tell him, like, believe the best in yourself, kind of. He doesn't say that, but that's what he's telling the gunslinger with his actions, right? Like, believe your old ways, become the gunslinger, don't just look for revenge, like, you're meant to save the Dark Tower. And that's what the little boy wants to do, right? He's like, let's do it. And then he gets captured, and it's like, I don't feel like when he's in that chair that he's saying, come save me. I feel like he's saying, stop the Dark Tower. And so that's what I thought was going to happen. And I thought that would be really cool. But
it was still really cool the way that he caused the bullets to ricochet. And
yeah, then kill. And that was just one thing. The magic, I didn't like the magic. I wanted more background on where did he get this magic? Who is the man in black? What is this entity of a person we don't understand? And who are the rats? That Rats movie that came out, was that a book by Stephen King? I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. It was gross, and I didn't like him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a Stephen King novel, and that'll tie into a movie. We'll find out in a minute. Continue on with something else.
One other thing that I really wasn't the biggest fan of is... that you've got like these rats that are on Earth to collect children, pull them into the other world so they can try to use them to suck their fresh childlike minds to
their psychic abilities.
Right. The shining children.
The shine. So yeah. If you're psychic, you have a shine. Does that relate to The Shining? That was bothering me the whole movie.
It's got to.
Yeah, right?
It's got to.
So the little boy sees the girls in the hotel in The Shining. He's got to be psychic. Mm-hmm. He knows about red rum and murder. And so maybe that's why they call it The Shining. I don't know. It's been so long since I've seen that movie, too, so I don't remember everything about it.
They just seem so stupid. Like these...
The rat characters, yeah, they usually are.
They are rats, but...
Even though you have one of my favorite superheroes as the leader of the rats, Rorschach from Watchmen. Oh, yes. Love that character. Anyway. He's a good rat.
Yeah. Just seems odd to me that you have so many of them
and you
that
can't
are so
get anything
incapable
done.
To get one child. Yeah. Like, they walk in and you see this whole group of people. These...
100.
Yeah.
Easily.
It's like a whole little civilization.
In New York, not just in our world, in New York.
Right, no, like, concentrated. And they're... And supposedly they can track him when he uses his power.
Yeah, they didn't explain that either.
And then they don't really track him until later down the road. Like, does the tracking only work where he does it? Is it only in that moment, or does it leave like a radioactive particle trail behind him where they can follow?
I do not
and see
know
where he's gone.
I do declare.
I don't know. There's a bunch of weird stuff, but another thing I didn't like is that like he gets into this house that he finds thanks to Reddit or whatever website. It was like 4chan or I don't know. It wasn't any of those.
That house I think is on the original It. I don't know.
It may have been.
No, that's not. Someone would have called that out, and I looked it up. Okay, continue.
I didn't like that it looked so well designed inside. So you see, like, writing in paint or blood on the wall, whatever.
But it's perfect.
It's like a perfect font. Yeah, like, you guys just type this up. Make it handwritten. Come on, guys.
It'd be cheaper if you did that, too.
Right. Like...
All right.
Super easy.
Last thing I'm going to rag on it for before I go into something else was the Jedi-like battle that we already talked about between Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey. I laughed out loud, literally, when all of a sudden Idris Elba uses his gun like a lightsaber and deflects these bullets coming at him, and it's like ching ching, and he's just going back and forth. He's
shooting at glass to break it up.
Yeah, well, it just felt so Star Wars because it was like Matthew McConaughey is over here using the Force to move objects,
at him.
And he's over here just with his gun lightsaber, you know, that used to be Excalibur. His guns were made from Excalibur, FYI, everybody. I guess that wasn't copyrighted. But
how does that tie in?
I just think he stole that. I don't know. Just used that and said, oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think that's under fair use now. It's old enough, probably. You think?
But why would that even be significant?
I don't know. Because he's the chosen knight. He's basically... He's a descendant of Arthur.
But he's in another world.
I don't know.
So where's the crossover back to Keystone Earth?
We don't know. We don't
Come
know.
On, man.
There's too many things. There are too many things. Yeah. My mind is exploding. Choose one. Go with that.
All right.
Like I said, it's a setup movie, which is fine. But what I will say is cool about the setup is so the Dark Tower protects our universe from these creatures in the void, I think is what we'd call it. No, they're
upside down.
Kind of. Yes, basically. they're outside our universe, unable to get in because of the Dark Tower. But when the Man in Black hits the Dark Tower, it creates these voids that allows some of them to almost get through, these monsters. And we see a little fight with the monsters. And what the monsters are able to do are make you see someone you love. And they draw you in close as you see this, right? And then all of a sudden they're this terrifying looking monster. And they're gonna kill you and eat you probably. Well, the whole time I was thinking, this is the monster for it. So a monster that escapes the void is going to be the monster in it, because in the original it, it was like this giant spider that was telepathically luring, at least from the movie and my 13-year-old or 12-year-old mind remembering all this.
Mm-hmm.
This giant spider was, you know, luring these kids to its lair and eating them, basically. And so then eventually they found it and they... Spoiler alert. Well, I won't give it that away.
You'll float too. You'll float too. Oh, you'll float too. You'll float too.
Oh no, my belt is caught now.
We had a belt situation earlier where my belt was caught while we were trying to record something else.
Oh, that was going to sound really dirty if you didn't provide proper context.
Was there something else you wanted to bring up there?
No, that was it. That was it. That basically, I think, in the upcoming movie, one of those things is going to get out. Because they said, oh, it escaped through one of the voids that, you know, it must have escaped. And, and so we're like, cool, maybe one escaped in Earth, and that's where it comes from. And so that's how I know it's going to keep going. They're creating a Stephen King universe.
Tune in a month or two when...
Whenever that comes out.
It comes out. Comes out before Halloween, I think, September, end of September.
I will tell you, Aaron, it comes out 8th of September.
Right. So or just a few 7th. Weeks.
Yeah.
Tune in a month and you'll find out.
Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, and as I mentioned before, the actor that plays it, the clown, I can't think of it, but he was in Atomic Blonde as well. I love him. He's great. He's going to be so good. Yeah. I don't care what anyone says. Hype it up. He'll be good.
Yeah.
All right. You got
anything
else? If
you were to rate
the
movie, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
What rating would you give it?
I would give it... out of 5 stars. Just gonna just do it. Out of 5 stars. I would give it a flying 1.
A 1 star?
Yeah, because I shouldn't let that taint. It's a 1 or a 2.
Yeah.
I honestly, it's, I would rather, I'd put it right next to Transformers. And pirates for me.
Yeah, like production isn't fantastic and amazing. And I feel like the whole time I couldn't help but think of the correlations between Stranger Things. And it really just felt really similar the whole time to me. So I'm there at 2 stars. 2.5.
Let's call it 2. Call it a day.
Let's call it 2.5, Matt.
We deal with whole stars here.
Matt, let's call it 2.5.
All right, well, I'm going to put 2 when I put this episode out.
Let's call it 2 stars.
Yeah.
Okay,
2 stars. You got it.
I feel like 2 stars is good.
Sweet.
All right. Some people may think it's 3, but...
So, if you go see it, make sure to look for Easter eggs. Have fun with Idris Elba. Look past Matthew McConaughey's Lincoln commercial.
Yeah, don't go see it for Matthew McConaughey. That's not the reason to see it.
There's no abs in this.
Nope.
No.
It is not all right.
Okay. All right, real quick. I have some movie news for you that I did research for you on your Murder on the Orient Express.
Yes, please inform.
I didn't know this until I looked it up just this last week. I'm like, all right. No, it's a movie. It's a remake of an old movie.
We gotta watch it.
But we'll watch it, and why don't we review both?
Let's do both.
Something like that.
So tune in, guys, when that comes out in November.
Oh, you even know when it comes out.
We will do both.
It comes out November 24th. Boom.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Other movie news that I want to see. Happy. Have you seen the preview for Happy on the Sci-Fi Channel? You have...
I don't know that I have.
You have the detective from Special Victims Unit, Law and Order, the guy that left before the woman. Stabler. Stabler is his name. You have Detective Stabler, and I think he's a detective in this. I just saw a quick preview somewhere.
I'll have to look that up.
And all of a sudden he has a cartoon character. He sees an imaginary friend, a cartoon character, and for some reason it looks so interesting to me. And I'm like, this is different. It's just different than anything that's out there right now. Also, I saw a preview for Seven Sisters on Netflix. Monday. What happened to Monday? I think is what it's called.
Yeah, that was really fascinating.
No. It wasn't. It looks like a complete ripoff of Orphan Black.
No, Matt. It was fascinating.
Have you seen Orphan Black?
No, not at all.
Orphan Black is the exact same scenario. They're clones of each other. And she has multiple identities that she takes on. And she works for the government. Well, I don't know if she works for the government. I only watched like 4 episodes of that. But it looks like a complete copy of Orphan Black.
And really?
I'm like, ugh.
That's kind of disappointing. But I'm still excited to see it.
I think it'll be like the Americanized version is what I'm getting. Hmm. All right. Anything else?
Like I said earlier, stay tuned. The podcast is going to change just a little bit. We're going to try to create a better structure that's hopefully a little more interesting to listen to for all of you so that it's not just us rambling. We'll still ramble. Don't get me wrong, but it'll be a little more organized rambling, hopefully with some fun little music in betweeners. Should be good. I think it's a good change. And we're not going to do new movies every week. So we're going to try to switch between some older ones. And that's where we need you. So if you feel like you have a movie you want us to watch and talk about, feel free to send us a message on frameofmind.reviews.
Yep. Or a Gmail. frameofmind.reviews@gmail.com.
Either one works. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been a blast, Aaron, but I'm going to have to go now. So.
All right.
I'm Matt. Hello.
And I'm Aaron, back from my honeymoon.
Sweet.
Finally.
Okay. See you next week.
On Frame of Mind.